The Psalm number 100, please. Psalm 100, the first version of the Psalm on the page number 91. Psalm 100, page 91 of our hymn books. The first version, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell, come ye before him and rejoice. Psalm 100, page 91, standing to sing, please. Can we unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer as we commit our service now to the Lord in prayer. Our eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the opportunity that is ours once again to approach onto thy throne of grace. And Lord, we do come with that sense of praise and worship and adoration in our hearts. We come to thank thee, O God. We come to worship thee. We come to acknowledge that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. We thank thee, O God, that thou art the true and the living God. We thank thee, O God, that while others may worship an idol of wood or stone, we praise thee, O God, that we fall in humble adoration today before the living God of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into its existence, the one by whom all the worlds were framed. And Lord, we thank thee today that we can say with the psalmist, this God is our God forever and forever. And Lord, how we thank thee today that we have a relationship with the living God. And yet, Lord, we realize that that relationship is not found in anything that there was in any one of us. But Lord, we thank thee today for our mediator. We thank thee, O God, today for our Redeemer. We thank thee, O God, for the one who made it possible for sinful wretches such as we, that we might be brought to God. Lord, we thank thee today for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that through Him we can have that saving relationship with our God. We praise Thee, O God, for every blood-bought, blood-washed soul in this meeting today. We thank Thee, O God, for that moment in our life's experience, Lord, when we were taken from nature's darkness and we were brought into the light and the liberty of the gospel. We thank Thee, O God, that today we stand complete in Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that we stand accepted before God today, all because of the finished work of the cross. We praise Thee, O Lord, for Calvary. Thank Thee, O God, for all that it means to us today. We have no other boast. We have no other hope but Christ and His finished work on the cross. And Lord, we thank Thee today for the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. We thank Thee, O God, today for He who is our mercy seat. And Lord, as we come to Thee, we acknowledge just how much we need Thee afresh today. Lord, we need Thee to aid us and to help us in our worship. We pray, Lord, that we may not merely worship Thee from the lips today, but Lord, that from our hearts we might worship our God in spirit and in truth. O God, we pray that You'll take our thanks for Thy goodness and mercy to us once again this day. Lord, how blessed and how privileged we are today. And Lord, we pray that You'll take our thanks for all the material, the temporal blessings of life that Thou hast given to us. For Lord, realize that every good and every perfect gift is from our Father. And Lord, we pray that today, as we have been and blessed, and as we have been enabled to come to the house of God, Lord, that we will have that spirit of thanksgiving, that spirit of rejoicing. And Father, we pray that You'll take our thanks for all that Thou hast done for us. And Lord, we pray most of all that You'll take our thanks for all that Thou hast done for us in redemption. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless every head bowed in Thy presence. Lord, You know the need of every heart. And O God, we pray that You'll meet each one this very Lord's Day morning. At the point of need, we pray for those, Lord, who need that word of encouragement. Lord, we pray that You'll draw alongside to them. We pray, Lord, for those who need that word of challenge concerning their soul's eternal destiny. Lord, for those in this meeting today who are not right with God, Lord, not saved, we pray, Lord, that You'll speak to them with that voice that wakes the dead. And Lord, we pray that You'll just bring them, Lord, to the foot of the cross today, that there they will find forgiveness and mercy from their sins. And oh God, we pray that You'll help each and every child of God. Lord, help us in our walk with God. Lord, as we start out in another new week, Lord, we acknowledge how much we need Thee. Lord, this week will bring new challenges. Lord, it'll bring new situations for us. And Lord, we thank Thee that through it all we have the power and the presence of our Lord who never changes. Lord, go with us this week. Lord, help each one of us to take our stand and help each one of us to live our lives before Thee. And Lord, we pray that as people would look on us, that they would not see us, but Lord, that they would see Christ in us. And so, Lord, we pray that You'll just help us today and help us in the days that lie ahead in Thy will. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless every aspect and every work and every department of the congregation here. We thank Thee, Lord, for the boys and girls already in the Sabbath school. Lord, those who were taught in Sunday school this morning, we pray, Lord, that You'll speak on to them. Lord, we pray that You'll bless every teacher. We thank Thee, O God, for those who give of their time to instruct our children and our young people. Lord, we pray that You'll just put that hedge of blood around all of our children and our young people at this time. Lord, for those that are not saved, save them, we pray. Lord, for those that are saved, help them in their walk and witness for the Lord, even in their school, in their classroom. Lord, we pray that even in the workplace, that You'll help them to take their stand for Thee. And Father, we pray that You'll bless right throughout this day. We ask, O God, that You'll just go with us throughout this day. Remember the Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon. Bless the boys and girls there. And Lord, those who would teach, Lord, give a blessed time. And Lord, help once again and bring the children out and bring them to the cross and bring them to Christ. Bless, Lord, in the meeting this afternoon in the care home. Bless, O God, we pray as we go and witness there. Lord, we pray that that will be owned and used of God. Remember our gospel service tonight. We ask, O God, that You'll bring in people from around this local area. Lord, we pray that You'll bring people in with a hunger and a thirst after God. Lord, the greatest of sinners in East Belfast, we pray, bring them into the house of God this night, we pray. And Lord, save them by Thy matchless grace. Lord, create a move of God. Great Lord, a stirring up, Lord, we pray for the glory of God. We ask all of these things. Lord, come and move in this area. Come and move across this city, across our province, and across our nation. Lord, we stand, Lord, in desperate need today of a move of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, sweep away all the opposition. Lord, sweep away all that's against Christ and His gospel. And Lord, we pray that showers of blessing will fall upon us once again. Bless, Lord, the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. Bless every faithful servant of the cross today in this place and in other places. Lord, those perhaps who are coming to the end of the Lord's day and coming to the end of their ministry today, encourage them. And Lord, for those who have yet to minister, Lord, we pray that You'll just bless and Lord, help the Church of Jesus Christ this day. Lord, help us to be those lights in this dark world in which we live. Lord, help us to arise. Help us, Lord, to be doing in these days in which we live. Lord, that we will see once again days of the right hand of God. Come amongst us, we pray. Help us, Lord, even in our worship today. Lord, as we would sing the hymns, Lord, and the psalms. Lord, as we would look into the Word of God, help us in every aspect and in every detail. Most of all, Lord, come. Be one of our number today. Holy Spirit, Lord, we invite Thee here. We ask Thee, O God, to come. And Lord, we thank Thee for the promise that where the two or three are gathered in Thy name, there Thou art in the midst. Come and be in the midst of us today, we pray. And Lord, through it all, may Thy name be glorified, honored, and magnified. For we ask it in Thy name and for Thine honor alone. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 467, please. Hymn number 467 is our second hymn, first hymn. 364 is the page. 364 is the page, and 467 is the hymn number. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way while we do His good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. 467 on the page 364, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Verse 2. To compete with the ladies. We know that. We learn that by experience. That was very sweet, ladies, and we know we can't sing as sweetly as that, but we're going to do our best with the male voice choir that we have here. So all the gentlemen, young and old, let's have you singing your best in verse number 3.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share. Not a great glory.
ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the Gospel according to Mark, Mark's Gospel, and the chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And reading two parts of this chapter together. First of all, from verse number 21 down to the end of verse 24, and then going down then to verse 35. But first of all, starting Mark chapter 5 and the verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And let's go down to verse number 35 and take up the reading again. Verse 35, Mark chapter 5. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any more? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, and taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and waked and walked, and she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We'll end there at the end of the chapter, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing, reading of his word. This stage, we want to extend a very warm welcome to each and to everyone who has been able to come here to our service of worship this morning. We do welcome you in the Lord's great name, and as we often say, we do not just merely say that as a matter of form, we mean that sincerely. We are glad to see each and every one of you. We have visitors with us today. We have visitors from America, and we have visitors from London, and we want you all to know that you're very welcome. We're delighted to have you, and we trust that you'll feel at home with us here in Sandown. You're more than welcome, and we pray the Lord will bless you as you worship with us this morning. And to each and to every one of you, we bid you a warm welcome. It's good to see our brother Jim back out with us again after his period of illness and time in hospital. God bless you, Jim, and it's good to see you. Can I quickly run through the announcements for the rest of this day and then in the week that lies before us in the will of God? This afternoon, 2:30, over in Hollywood, that's the Sabbath school over there. And then 3:00, that'll be the meeting in the Domhnall Care Home there on the old Dundonald Road at 3:00. 6:30, that'll be our season of prayer. Then the gospel service at 7:00 tonight. We want you all to come back again. We give you that invitation to come back again to our gospel service tonight. We're speaking tonight on the subject of biblical arithmetic, and we're going to do the numbers tonight, and we're going to look at the subject as we see it in the Word of God. So let me encourage as many as possible, come back again. We'd love to see you. Come back the second time to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day evening. Make that effort, please, 7:00, and if you come that little bit earlier for 6:30 for the season of prayer, that would be good. And then immediately after the service tonight, we'll have the Lord's table in his own appointed way after the gospel service being the last Lord's Day of the month. And then this week, Monday to Friday, sees our week of prayer, and we will have the prayer sessions each day, Monday through to Friday, 6 a.m. in the morning and 8 p.m. in the evening. And I encourage you, God's people, please set this week aside. Come as often as you can. Come as many times as you can to God's house and seek God's face for his blessing upon the work and witness of our church. We realise just how much we need the Lord in these days. We always need the Lord, and yet very especially we need the Lord to come and to bless us as we seek to further his kingdom and do his work here on earth. So please, as often as you come, as often as you can, please come Monday through to Friday, each morning, 6 a.m. and 8 o'clock in the evening. There'll be no youth fellowship on Friday night. As we said to the young people Friday night past, we encourage you to come to the season of prayer on Friday night, as we do all the other nights as well. Tuesday will be the children's meeting as normal here in the church at 7 o'clock. It was good to see a good start once again to the children's work after the children's mission, and do continue to pray for the meeting on Tuesday night. On Thursday night of this week, we're having a special visit, and it's on the Thursday night, normal prayer meeting night at 8 o'clock, from Tom and Lucy Margettis, who I know are well known and good friends of our congregation here. They are working with the Acre Gospel Mission in Brazil, and they're home at this time. And Tom and Lucy Mar will be along to give a report of their work. We're looking forward to that, and we want you to come especially on Thursday night and hear what the Lord is doing amongst the people there in Brazil. So Tom and Lucy Mar will be here on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and there will be an offering after the meeting for their work that they're involved in. Then next Lord's Day, the services at the normal time, 7:30, the early morning season of prayer, 10:15, Sabbath school and Bible classes, and 11:30 and 7, the two services, both preceded by the half hour of prayer. In the morning time, I'll be here to preach, and in the gospel service next Lord's Day evening, our brother Mr. Julian Patterson, who is one of our final year Bible College students, will be along to preach. I will be in Monieslane speaking at their harvest. I have a letter of thanks from Philip and Valentina and their family. To Reverend Wilson, I would like to thank my home church, Sandown Road, for the gift that they so faithfully gave last week. It was a blessing and encouragement, and I pray the Lord will give back much more and bless the givers. Please continue to pray as I have commenced my third year, and for us as a family, that we will know the leading of the Lord. Philip, Valentina, Joshua, and Josiah. And that offering came to almost £1,100, and we want to thank you very much for your generous and kind giving to the Lord's work. And do continue to remember Philip, continue to remember Rachel as well, over in Northcote, that the Lord will bless these dear young people as they seek to serve the Lord and train for future service. A couple other announcements we want to bring to your attention. This day fortnight will be our Harvest Thanksgiving services, Sunday the 11th and Monday the 12th of October. Have I got those dates right? Where's Billy? Billy, have I got those dates right? They don't look right, but is that right? Good man. Thank you. I thought it was the 12th and 13th, but there you go. I was right for a change. That's good. Sunday the 11th and Monday the 12th of October. Sunday morning, this day fortnight, the Reverend John Morrow will be the preacher at our morning service, and our brother Mr. Matthew McGill will be here to sing. And then in the evening time, the Reverend Trevor Baxter will be the preacher, and Mr. David Warwick will be here to sing. And then on the Monday night, that'll be our Harvest Praise and Supper night. The Reverend William McCrae will be here to sing, as will the Mitchell family from Cook on that occasion on the Monday night. And there will be supper for everybody after the Monday night Harvest service. So please keep those dates in mind. Plan to be here. Plan to bring others with you for those special Harvest Thanksgiving weekend services. And then we have our Bible conference starting on Sunday the 18th of October at 7 o'clock, and then Monday through to Friday, Monday the 19th to Friday the 23rd at 8 o'clock each night. And the preacher each night will be the Reverend Timothy Nelson. Reverend Nelson is the minister of our church in Six Mile Cross and also the editor of our denominational magazine, The Vision, and we're looking forward to having God's servant with us for that Bible conference. He's going to be dealing with the subject of the Spirit and the saints and the work of the Spirit here amongst God's people. So we're looking forward to that. Please do set those nights aside and plan to be here every night as we get around the Word of God and as we look into God's Word. These are all the announcements. Let's take another hymn, the hymn number 382. 382. It's our offering hymn. Take up the offering for the work of God here in God's house. If you've not come prepared to give, please do not be embarrassed about that. Just pass, play it along. This is for our own people here in Sandown to support the work of God. 382, page 331. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? 382, and we'll keep our seats for the opening verses, please. Stand for verse number 4, verse 4, and the chorus, making that our final verse. Verse 4 and the chorus, standing to sing. Turning back again to Mark's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. It's It's good to see Megan over with us as well for the weekend. Glad to have you, Megan. And God continue to bless you in your studies there in Glasgow. It's just a little phrase that we find at the end of verse 36 that really sums up what we want to consider by the help of God this morning, looking at a number of the verses in this passage. But verse 36 really is the sum of what we want to consider. Let's read the entire verse together, Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. With the word of God opened before us, can we just still our hearts and ask for the Lord's help and for his presence in a word of prayer. Our eternal Father in heaven, as we come now to thy precious word, we ask, O God, that you'll come and help us, come and teach us, come and instruct us, O God, comfort and challenge our hearts. We ask, O God, that you'll give us help in the preaching and help in the hearing. Lord, we pray that thy word will come with freshness, it'll come with power. Lord, it'll come as it is the word of God to our hearts for this day. Bless us, we pray. Lord, help us now as we continue on in thy presence. Take of our thanks for thy presence already with us. But Lord, we pray that you'll come now and give us aid as we consider the word of God. And help us, Lord, in our meditation upon the living truths of thy word. And bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. We pray these things. Amen. Amen. William Bathurst penned the words of the hymn, Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. When tempests rage without, and when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. And surely that is the sentiments of every child of God today. A faith that will not shrink. Despite the circumstances and despite the pathway of life, Lord, give us all a faith that will not shrink. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And again, that is something that we as the believers of God should desire to do. In every twist and every turn of life, to bless the Lord at all times. And that, of course, comes very easily when things are going well. When we are on the mountaintop of blessing. When the sun is shining and all is bright. It is relatively easy to bless the Lord at all times. However, it's a different matter to exclaim and to exhibit our trust in God and to display our faith in him when the mountain top turns into a valley, when the sun is darkened and shaded by the clouds of life's difficulties, and problems come across our pathway. Problems with finances, problems with family, problems with work, problems with business, problems with health. The list could go on and on. Our faith, so often, is tried and tested by the pathway of life. Yet the Lord in his sovereign plan and purpose for our lives allows our faith to be tried in the furnace of affliction. He allows testing to come into our lives, not to destroy us, but rather to purify us and to strengthen us. George Mueller, man who knew what it was to live a life of faith, depending on God for everything, as he looked after so many of the orphans in the city of Bristol, he said regarding faith, God delights to increase the faith of his children. Trials, difficulties, and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. We should take them out of his hands as evidences of his love and his care in, for us in developing more and more that faith which he is seeking to strengthen within us. Faith is often tried and often purified in the furnace of God's affliction. And that, I believe, is one of the lessons that we can glean from this passage of Scripture here in Mark chapter 5. We read of a man by the name of Jairus, a father. And yet his life has been plunged into despair because his daughter is on the edge of death. It's a family tragedy. It's a terrible affliction. It's a trial of faith. It is faith being placed in the furnace of affliction and pain. And that so often is the lot of God's people. Our faith, through God's providential leading and direction, is often in the furnace of trial. Our faith is often tested. And as we look at these verses today before us in Mark chapter 5, we want to consider the subject of faith in the furnace. Faith in the furnace. First of all, I want you to see with me here regarding this faith. I want you to see the demonstration of faith. The demonstration of faith. In the actions that this man Jairus took to the devastating events that were unfolding before him, we see a demonstration of faith in action. Notice how he reacted in these circumstances. As we consider the demonstration of his faith, notice further with me here the reverence that he showed. Look at verse number 22. Look at verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, that is Christ, he fell at his feet." He brought his problem to the feet of Christ. And that is where we must always bring our problems and our difficulties. And more than that, that is where our problems and our difficulties ought always to bring us, to the feet of Christ. But in this action, it was a sign of reverential respect that this man had for the Lord. You see, rather than running to the Lord with his complaints and his grumblings and his moanings and asking the Lord why all this was happening to him, he ran to the Lord and simply fell at his feet. And in that, there was a mighty demonstration of faith. Because so often when faith is tested, so often when faith is tried, we can run from the Lord. But here is a man running to the Lord, falling down and worshipping him. In this action, he displayed, I believe, a recognition of the authority of the Lord. You see, even though from a human point of view, his life was falling apart before his eyes, yet he acknowledged that the Lord was sovereign, that the Lord was in control of the circumstances. And Jairus took that humble position at the feet of Christ. And he said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know why you're doing it, but I know you're working all things together for good. But Lord, I need your help." Jairus, of course, was a man of great respect, a man of great position in society. He held considerable prestige amongst the Jews, but in bowing before the Lord and falling before the Lord, he acknowledged that Christ was far above all. He acknowledged that Christ was far above him, far above his circumstances. Here was a man who knew that while he didn't know what was happening or why it was happening, yet he knew the Lord had ordered his steps. As this man fell before the Lord, we read over in Matthew's account of the same story, in Matthew 9:18, that he also worshipped the Lord. Jairus fell in subjection and submission to the will of God for his life, but he also fell in worship and adoration of God. And how that reminds us that even through the difficulties, and even through the trials, we must worship God. Worship in spite of our difficulties. Yea, worship God in the midst of our difficulties. Too often when our schedule gets busy and our troubles increase, the worship of God is laid aside. But as one commentator said, when we do that, when we lay aside the worship of God, we only add to our troubles. To leave off in our worship of God in a public manner, and remember that's what Jairus is doing here, publicly falling before the Lord and publicly worshiping him. But when we leave off that, it will only increase our trouble, because the heart of the believer is inclined to worship God. And when that doesn't happen, there's a vacuum. You remember Asaph, one of the men who wrote the psalm, some of the psalms, in the midst of his turmoil and the terrible plague of uncertainty that he details for us in Psalm 73. And we have looked at that psalm in a past occasion. But Asaph is going through awful things in his life, terrible questions and doubts. And the key to that whole psalm is verse 17, where he says, it was when he went into the sanctuary of God, when he got into the presence of God to worship God, he says, then understood I their end. Don't lose out on worship with God in his house. Don't lose out with fellowship with God and his people. Don't cut yourself off from that fellowship and worship. David, despite the sorrows that he had, and David had many, David was able to say, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I've loved the place where thine honor dwelleth. Despite the trials of his faith, Jairus still worshipped God. It was a faith that did not shrink. His faith held firm. His faith was strengthened and his faith was helped. The reverence, but also the resolve. Notice in verse 23. And besought him greatly. There was a real resolve and confidence in the power and the ability of the Lord to help him. Jairus was resolved to seek the Lord. He had confidence in the Lord to help him in the situation. His faith took him to the Lord. When the fires of affliction raged within him, he could go to no one else but to the Lord. Jairus knew where to go to. He knew who to go to. Such was his confidence in the Lord. He went straightway, immediately to the Lord. And the Lord must always be our first resort in any time of trouble. No one else, no matter how well intentioned they may be, no matter how good and helpful they are, no one else can give us the help that the Lord can. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He besought the Lord greatly. Such was his earnestness and the urgency of the whole matter. He wasn't going to let go of God. He needed the Lord's help. He needed the Lord to intervene in his life and to help in this dire situation that he found himself in. And he wasn't for giving up. His faith dictated that only the Lord could help him in this situation. His faith directed him to the Lord, and his faith was grounded in the great ability of his Lord to turn the situation around. What resolve he displayed here. He besought him greatly. He just didn't come to the Lord and put the case and that's it and walk away and leave it there. No, there was earnest resolve. He was eager to know the Lord's help, and he wasn't going to let go of the Lord until the Lord would help and the Lord would bless. We need to have this resolve in seeking God's help. Coming again and again and again to the Lord. Seeking him earnestly. Oh, the devil would tell us, give up. The devil would tell us, you don't need to worry about that anymore. But folks, we need to come and we need to beseech the Lord earnestly and greatly. Even though the situation may seem hopeless, yet with the Lord there's always hope. Verse 23 as well, we see the request that he made. Besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. There's the request that he makes of the Lord. I pray thee, come. He invites the Lord into the situation that he finds himself in. He invites the Lord, he pleads with the Lord to come and help. Now he thought the Lord needed to come and be bodily present in the house in order for his daughter to be healed. Here was a weakness, because the Lord could just have spoken the word and the daughter would have been healed. Christ didn't need to come to the house and lay hands on the daughter in order for the daughter to be better. But despite the weakness of faith, yet the Lord willingly agreed to come. Look at those lovely words in verse 24. Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. What a beautiful expression that is. Jesus went with him. Isn't that what we need, folks? The presence of Christ in every situation of life. Christ in the midst. Christ in the midst of every trial and every trouble. Christ in the midst of everything, that's what we need. And too often Christ has been crowded out and he has been relegated. And the position that he should have in our hearts and lives is pushed down the list of importance. Other things have taken precedent. Other things are more important. But we need to give Christ back that rightful place that he deserves and he demands. And Jesus went with him. The demonstration of faith. But I want you to see as well with me here the delay regarding faith. Because as Christ went with Jairus, there was a delay in him being able to get to the young girl. Because the people thronged him, and as he went, there was a woman who needed healed as well. The woman with the issue of blood. And as Christ tended to her, there was a delay in him getting to help Jairus' daughter. God doesn't always answer our requests immediately. There are many times when God delays, but his delays are never denials. God's timing is always perfect, even though we may not see it, even though we may not understand it. You see, while at times divine providence may seem to work against us, yet all the time it's working for us. But even in this delay, we see how Jairus' faith was being instructed and trained. I believe this delay had taught Jairus that other people have problems as well. Although his problem was serious, and it was, yet there were others around him that had matters that needed to be attended to. It taught Jairus to consider the needs of others. It also taught him the need for patience, the need to wait on the Lord, the need to exercise self-discipline and patience as we wait on the Lord, not to try to run on ahead of him. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and the verse 3, we read, though it tarry, wait for it. Hebrews 10:36, ye have need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You see, this period of delay was the Lord teaching and training Jairus concerning patience about waiting. This would most certainly increase his faith, strengthen his faith, and help it. You see, folks, today waiting on God's timing enables our faith to grow. How? Because it makes us lean more and more on Christ. It makes us depend more and more upon him and less upon ourselves. A.W. Tozer said that faith, like a muscle, grows by stretching. And our faith is often stretched by waiting on the Lord's timing. So while delays may seem like denials, yet they are used by God to build us up in our faith, to strengthen our faith, and to help our faith. The demonstration of faith, the delay of faith. But notice in verse number 35, there is the derision of faith, or the discouragement of faith. In verse 35, we see some who derided the faith of Jairus, some who dismissed his faith, dismissed his earnest desire to see things change, and people who should have been an encouragement were a discouragement. Look at verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" In other words, Jairus, the case is hopeless. Jairus, there's nothing more can be done. Jairus, that's it. Give up. The problem is too great. Move on and don't trouble the Lord. Rather than being an encouragement, they derided Jairus' faith. And there will always be those who will discourage you, especially when they should be standing with you. There will be those who will tell you to give up. There will be those who will tell you nothing more can be done. The situation is hopeless. These people wanted Jairus to give up hope for his daughter. But no father, no parent who loves their child naturally and spiritually will ever give up hope for their child. And I speak here especially concerning the state of heart. Parents who want to see their children raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Parents who desire to see their wayward children brought to God. Even though they are seen no hope, humanly speaking, yet there is always hope in Christ. These people wanted to stop Jairus from seeking the Lord's help anymore. Do you know what they were saying in effect? They were saying the Lord can't help you. The Lord can do nothing more for you. But thank God we have one who deals in impossibilities. People will deride our faith. And they will tell us to turn to the specialists, turn to the medical profession, and they certainly have a place and a part to play, but they will tell us that Christ can do nothing more for us. Man needs to step in, man needs to take control and get the problem sorted, but Christ, and only Christ, is the answer to all our needs. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, in every way, Christ is the answer. Mankind is ever limiting the power of God. And if we are honest with ourselves, we have to be honest and say at times we have given up on the power of God to change our circumstances, to change our home life, to change our families, to change our situations. We look at things and we reason things out by the natural eye and we conclude there's no hope. We conclude there is nothing more to be done, but when we bring Christ into the situation, there is hope. And if people want to deride you, and if people want to discourage you, let them be carnal Christians. But as for us, let us hope in the Lord. Father, mother, don't give up on your child. Husband, wife, don't give up on your life's partner. Don't give up on Christ. Don't give up on those that you've been praying for. Those that, like Jairus, you've been beseeching the Lord greatly for. Others may deride you, but there is hope in Christ. The demonstration of faith, the delay of faith, the duration of it. But notice in verse number 36 also here, the directive of faith. The directive of faith. Here we're coming to what really is forming the basis of our text. Look at the end of verse 36. Here's the directive of our faith. Be not afraid. Only believe. Faith is the remedy for fear. Faith is the remedy for fear. Now, obviously, Jairus was in fear. That's only natural. He feared for his daughter. He feared for his family. And there would be something wrong if he didn't fear. But Christ comes here with the directive, the command, and he says, be not afraid. He says, stop fearing, Jairus. You see, Jairus feared that the doubters were right. Jairus feared that there was nothing anymore that Christ could do to change the situation. Perhaps they were right after all. Perhaps this case is too hopeless. Perhaps there is nothing more that can be done. And when there is that uncertainty, folks, there will be fear. Unbelief brings fear. But Christ removes that fear. Jairus, you have no need to fear. You see, the word of man's unbelief was rebuked by the word of the Lord's peace. And that is the command to our faith today. Fear not. Be not afraid. Now, whether there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, I don't know. I've never counted them. People will say there are 365 different versions of fear not, one for every day of the year. That may be the case. Thank God if it is. But when the Lord says once, fear not, that's sufficient. That's not this preacher telling you not to fear. That's not the words of any man telling you not to fear, because, folks, I don't have the power to change your situation. I wish I could. But this is the Lord. This is Christ. This is the all-powerful God who has the power to change your situation and say, fear not. Fear not. Only believe. You see, these doubters in verse 35, they brought no comfort to Jairus. The skeptics brought no assurance to him, but faith always brings assurance and comfort. Faith in Christ, faith in his person, faith in his power, faith in his presence, faith in his plans and peace. That term, only believe, in verse 36, it means to continually believe. It's a continuous action. Exercise ongoing faith in Christ in his power. That's what is needed for salvation. We're not saved by fame, we're saved by fortune. We're saved by faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, today, still in your sin, still without Christ, still on that broad way that leads to a lost eternity, what you need today is saving faith in Jesus Christ. Not in a church, not in your good works, but in Christ. That's the only thing that will save you. But then as we give our hearts and life to Jesus Christ, as we live our life by faith, we need to continually put our faith in him for everything. David said in Psalm 56 in the verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Dear believer, today in the furnace of affliction, pain or agony, the Lord comes to you and he says to you today, remember not the words of this preacher, the words of Christ. He says, be not afraid, only believe. But surely there must be something more than that. something more that needs to be done. Some grand scheme and some grand program. No, Christ says, only believe. Trust me. Trust in the sovereignty of God. Rest in the promises of God. And experience the power of God. The demonstration, the delay, the derision, the directive, but finally, as we close, notice the delight here of faith. His faith was rewarded. Although it was rebuked, although it was doubted, although there was a delay, yet the answer came. Look at verse 41. And he that is Christ took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Notice the Lord's tenderness. Notice the Lord's touch, the Lord's speech. And the girl responded. Verse 42, straightway the damsel arose and walked. You see, when the Lord speaks with that voice that wakes the dead, no power of sin and no power of nature is able to withstand that command. Here was a miracle. And I have no hesitation in saying today, I believe in a God who still works miracles. You're saved, dear child of God, today. You are a living miracle. A miracle of grace. That's what's needed. Notice the reaction of the people in verse 42. The end of the verse, it says, they were astonished with a great astonishment. The doubters, the disbelievers, they were shut up. They were silenced. What would it be for the scoffers of Christ and the doubters today to be astonished and to be astounded in our day as we see our God work miracles? As we see our God turn things around. People today who say the day is dark. Shouldn't preach the gospel anymore. No point in being evangelistic anymore. Satan has got such a grip on this part of the world. God has forgotten about us. Just live your life the best you can. No, folks, I won't. Because as long as there's a God in heaven, and there will always be a God in heaven, I will look to God to do miracles in lives and homes and situations. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give me such a faith as this. And then whate'er may come, I'll taste in here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Faith in the furnace. It must be demonstrated. Yes, it may experience delay and derision. It will be directed, but ultimately it'll be delighted and rewarded. Be not afraid, only believe. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and Father, we thank thee, O God, for the example of this man, Jairus. And, O God, we pray that you'll give us that faith even in the midst of trials and afflictions. And even in the furnace, Lord, we pray that you'll give us a faith that will not shrink. Give us, O Lord, a faith that will grow even in the midst of the trials. Help us, O God, to lean less and less upon ourselves and less upon our own power or ability. And help us, Lord, to lean more and more on Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll increase our faith. pray, O God, that you'll strengthen our faith. O God, we pray that you'll remember those today in this meeting who are here and they do not have this faith in Christ. And they're still in their sin. And O God, we pray that this day they will come. They will put their faith, their whole trust and dependence for eternity in Jesus Christ. Lord, that this day that you'll save from sin. And O God, we pray for every dear child of God. Lord, we pray that in the week that lies before us in thy will, help us, Lord, to hear those sweet words come ringing again and again in our hearts. Be not afraid, only believe. Help us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the words of that hymn that we've been quoting, 534. 534, the page is 391. 534, O for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. 534, the page is 391, and we'll stand to sing this entire hymn, please. That you bless thy word to every heart. May thy presence go with us this afternoon. Lord, we pray you'll take us to our homes in safety. Lord, bring each one back to the gospel service tonight. Bring others on to the word of God, we ask of thee. And give us, Lord, a blessed time, a good time in thy house on this thine own day. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.